it's great. I can get the shipping boxes I need delivered to me for free.
It's just me and my dog, Bella, but we still have so many holiday cards to send out. Luckily, the USPS online store has tons of options. Right, Bella?
However big your family is, the United States Postal Service goes the extra mile to bring your holidays home. Learn more at usps.com/season. And with informed delivery notifications, get a digital preview of your mail before it arrives. United States Postal Service. Priority you.
A couple of new artists are dominating the field for the 62nd Grammy Awards.
Lizzo's Cause I Love You has landed in the Album of the Year category, as has Eilish's When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Both artists are also nominated in the Song, Record, and Best New Artist categories. And this is the first time that's happened. Two artists in those same four categories. Ain't nobody tell me nothing. Arguably the biggest hit of the year, Old Town Road, the Lil Nas X Billy Ray Cyrus collaboration, also among the nomination's leaders. The Grammys will be handed out January 26th. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
Grammy winner Kacey Musgraves' Christmas show will air November 29th on Amazon Prime. Her guests include her 80-year-old grandmother. Musgraves says, "This is just Nana's world. We're all just living in it." I'm Evan Haining.
From ooh to
aww.
Whatever reaction you're looking for this holiday, spread more joy with holiday cards, calendars, and photo gifts from Vistaprint. And now you can get up to 50% off all holiday cards and calendars at Vistaprint.com. Discover cards in the latest trends or fill a calendar with your favorite photos. So make more merry at Vistaprint.com with up to 50% off all holiday cards and calendars. Plus great deals on photo gifts. Just enter code HOLIDAY50 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com. Code HOLIDAY50.
It's time for some straight talk. You've got real work to do, but everyone's sucking up the free Wi-Fi faster than a Mocha Choco double frap on ice. So be your own hotspot. Now with Straight Talk Wireless, get 10 gigs of hotspot data with the Ultimate Unlimited plan. Just $55 a month on America's best 4G LTE networks. You don't have to find a hotspot. You are the hotspot. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less.
Compatible device and SIM
required. Clearing skies and cold tonight, 26 to 32. Mostly sunny tomorrow, 45 to near 50. More clouds tomorrow night, 35 to 40. And some rain showers Friday, 50 to 55. Mostly sunny Saturday, low 40s. And Sunday, partly sunny. Temperature around 45 degrees. At Connecticut Basement Systems, they're the experts at all things basementy. Fixing wet, musty, and damp basements. Book your free estimate by the end of the month. Get $500 off of your project. Call 866-948-8111. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackwoman on 1490 WGCH.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Around the House with Steve Gladstone on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 is jam-packed with important information, preventative maintenance, and all sorts of home tips to keep your house in great shape and your family safe. We have special guests on heating, cooling, environmental issues, and we make it fun with trivia contests and prizes. Don't let that home fall apart around you. Join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 on Around the House with Steve Gladstone on 1490 WGCH.
The opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
I don't know how many of you were listening to the show last week, but I had on a guest that I have to admit I was apprehensive about having them on, but it was, if you listened, then you heard a couple, Sheila and Marcus Gillette, and they run a business called AskTheo.com, and we were speaking about relationships, and ultimately, Sheila Gillette channels in what is supposed to be 12 archangels combined. They used Sheila's voice, and they did channel for us on the radio show. But they used Sheila's voice, and they answer questions. And so they run a business called Ask Theo. And they were calling in from Phoenix. And so I had people in the studio, and they asked some questions of Theo. And it's a great show. You can go on to, I hope it's uploaded, but you can go on to my website at Defy, D-E-F-Y, defyandhustle.com, and check out my radio shows. So I suggest you do that. I have a lot of great guests on my shows. But anyway, the stranger thing just happened, which is I'm standing outside the radio station here, and I stood at a desk that I don't normally stand at because the woman before me had a guest, and so I stood at a back desk, and I turn around, and there is a, I don't know, it was one of those flip calendars, but on the front of it, it says angels. And I look down, and there is actually a pen, a ballpoint pen, which is the AskTheo.com ballpoint pen. So strange things happening, folks. But anyway, on to my wonderful guest tonight. For those of you who have heard of high performance coaching, I have a fantastic guest on the phone live from New Brunswick, Canada, and Gail Simard is here to talk with us about high performance and how to get your life onto a happier, healthier, and more high-performing level. So, Gail, are you there?
I'm here, Maureen.
Lovely to have you on the show tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I saw the word angel today, too. I took my daughter out for coffee, and there was a car that said, "My Angel" on the license plate.
Yeah, I think even the woman, I apologize, the woman who hosted the show before me was talking about consciousness. So I guess there is something happening where everybody's starting to, I guess, wake up to something that's bigger than what we thought was going on when we were younger. So,
absolutely.
Right? It is. Something's happening, right, Gail? So you're, Gail, you are a high performance coach. What does that mean to be a high performance coach?
That's a very good question. It's a great way to start this off. So some people think that it might be to do with sports. So I'm just going to say right off the bat, it's not. I'm not a sports coach. I am a person coach. And high performance, in our definition, means succeeding. I have to say this slow because there's a lot to it. Succeeding above standard norms consistently over the long term while still maintaining positive relationships and well-being. I know that's a mouthful, but it's basically to not be mediocre, to do really well long term and not mess parts of your life up while you're doing it.
So people are messing up parts of their life, or they're just maybe playing, accepting, right? A lot of people, I think, are just accepting life the way it is, even though they feel maybe not fulfilled or maybe even disappointed by some of the aspects of their life, right?
Yeah, I think as we go through different parts of our life, like everybody knows that, you know, new mothers, I mean, they forego sleep and everything to take care of that baby. And for a while, that's their focus. And so other things fall apart. Everybody can kind of understand that one. And new dads as well. And then when you're really working on your career, you know, sometimes you let go of your relationships to focus on something. So different parts of our life, we kind of focus on some things. And it's really hard to keep all, you know, to keep everything going smoothly all the time. So the coaching that I do helps people identify those problems and see where they might be going astray.
So the problems are that their life is out of balance in some way?
It is out of balance. And balance is something that a lot of people talk about these days as if we'll ever have our life in balance. I don't really believe that's possible to be completely balanced. But I think harmony is the word that I prefer to use. So it's, you know, even though somebody's working really focus on one part of their life. They need to pay attention. They need to have check-in sometimes on the other things. There's so many people that we hear about that have a goal of, say, writing a book. And then, you know, I remember listening to Lewis House. He focused so much on writing the book, and by the time the book got written and he was out in the stores promoting it, his girlfriend had left. He was not happy, and he's sitting there going, I've reached my goal, but now I'm so unhappy. There's nobody here to celebrate with me because all the focus went in one direction.
Lewis House is a motivational, I don't know if he's a coach, but he's a motivational author, and he's younger. I know he works a lot with men, not exclusively, but with younger men especially.
Yes, he's got a great book. There's some great books on masculinity, but the point is that you know, when you reach this pillar, or you reach this point where you think, oh, I've arrived, you want to make sure that you don't arrive alone.
And also that people, and I know I used to do this when I worked in Manhattan and Wall Street, actually that industry demanded that you put the workplace first in front of your relationships. But I think it also burned me out at some point. I mean, I was in my 40s, but it's too much. It's too much. The Western way of working, especially here in the New York City area, can burn you out after a while.
Yeah. And you think that you're doing a good thing, because a lot of people these days are talking about, you know, well, I know it's part of your word, but the hustle. And the hustle is great in moderation, but people are truly burning themselves out. They're running on adrenaline. They're too much, and their health is suffering. So with the coaching that I do, I like to have people take a good look at where they are in all aspects, in all the pillars, and make sure that they make time for something. And sure, there are times where you go through a sprint where you might put your relationships with your friends or something on hold for a little while, but the trick to that is to have some clarity around it and communicate with those people and say, you know, to your spouse, for instance, say, listen, for the next 30 days, I really need to work a lot, and, you know, I'm not going to be there for you so much, but it's a limited period of time, and then, you know, things will go back to normal, and actually mean it. So I think communication sometimes, it's not that you know, you have to always be balanced and taking care of everybody at all the time. Sometimes you need to, you know, ignore something to do other things. But I think one thing we should never ignore is our health.
Oh, no doubt. I think, especially as we get older here, we're realizing, oh, wait a minute, this isn't going to last forever, and I better slow down. Oh, I think we're more and more of us, especially with the way the health insurance policies and things like that are nowadays, better take care of ourselves. Oh, so yeah. I wanted you to explain to our listeners, what does a coach do? Because I think a lot of people, now you and I both coach, I think a lot of people are under the impression that it's not, they don't need that. I think they associate it with therapy. So why don't you tell us what you think a coach does and what it is and what it is not?
Great. Thank you. I love explaining this because it is a little confusing sometimes, because so many people are getting life coaches or fitness coaches, and sometimes it's unclear as to what their specialty is. So, and sometimes they're mislabeled, I believe. So there is, I'll tell you first, there's a consultant that you hire. When you hire a consultant, they tell you what to do. You hire them for their specific expertise in a field. So if you're not knowledgeable about something in business or wherever, you can hire somebody to come in and take care of that for you. And in that case, they're not coaching you. They're actually consulting and kind of telling you the way that things should be designed or set up. And you believe them because they're an expert, and, you know, you take their advice.
Right. You're delegating something to them. Actually, if you end up hiring them, you're delegating work to them to some extent.
Exactly. And it's like mostly like a project. You know, come in and take care of this for me or get the system set up.
Right.
And then there's therapists that are wonderful profession, but they go deep into your why and your mindset, and they often go into the past. They want to know about your childhood and different things like that, which is great, and that has its place. But in the coaching that I do, I'm taught, and I really loved how this was explained. They said a coach is not to go down the rabbit hole with you of negativity. If you find your client is going there and you're following them, you're doing a terrible job.
Right, you're buying into their story. You're buying into their story, right? Because we all have our stories, and we firmly believe in them, and we look through that lens.
Oh, we do. We use them for excuses, and we want to keep our story going because that's what we know. That's our paradigm of, you know, but I can't do it because, and we come up with the reasons. And as a coach, it's not that I don't care, but in a way, I have to say, you know what? I don't care what happened in the past. Did it teach you something that you can use now? Okay, great. Let's take that lesson and move forward. And then, like, sometimes you have to, you know, kind of be a little abrupt with people because they don't even realize that it can change, that it can be different, that what happened before, what happened yesterday doesn't have to happen tomorrow.
Right. Okay, so this is interesting. So if somebody's been wounded, right? We're all wounded at some point. We have our stuff as we get older. And so we often think, we were the victim of that situation that wounded us and we didn't have any control over it. And we also think, well, that must be, since it happened to me, and it may have happened multiple times to me, that it inevitably is going to happen again in the future. If I continue, you know, whatever the story might be, and have it, if your relationship didn't go well, that inevitably your next relationship won't go well or something like that.
And the thing is that if we keep doing what we've been doing, we'll keep getting the same result.
Right.
And people think they're going to get different results, but they don't want to change their habits. So it's kind of like to say, well, if, you know, how's that working out for you? Would you like to try it a different way? You know, What if you believed in yourself? What if you took your power back? What if you changed from being a victim to someone who's got a lot of experience that's not going to make those same mistakes? And I think as a coach, you know, you talk to people to uplift them and to show them their power because they have it. Like, you know, a lot of people talk about empowering women, and I think that's great, but we need to all empower ourselves because we have it in ourselves. We have the answers. You know, that's one of the things with coaching is I might ask the question in a few different ways so that people hear it differently from the way they're used to telling the story.
Give us an example of somebody, maybe a client you had that was on telling one story and then where either you're getting out of them. I know when I work with my clients, I try to get out of them a new story. So maybe you can give some examples of some client you've worked with or an example for our audience.
There's so many jumping in my head. I think the basic one, I think that we don't give ourselves enough credit. I think that we look around and there's so many good examples. I love social media, so I'm not bashing it, but people often compare themselves a little more than they used to. And, you know, people put out there the best because they should. I mean, when you show somebody photos, you're not going to show them your bad pictures. You're going to show them the nice ones. But I think when people do that, they're a little, they kind of put themselves down a little bit in comparison. And I try to let them know that they're just as powerful as those other people, that everybody started somewhere. And so, say I have a client that says, oh, you know, we're doing the lesson on courage, for instance.
Courage.
And she goes, on courage. So she says, well, I'm not very courageous. You know, I'll say this one. She said, I don't like change. I don't, you know, I'm not really crazy over change. And then I go, since we've been working together in 6 months, you've changed everything. You've moved homes, you've sold, you've separated, you know, you're looking for a different job, like so many things have changed. But as you go through them as that person, you don't mirror them to yourself. You don't really notice what you're doing. And, you know, I like pointing out to clients just how what they've already achieved as opposed to how far they have to go.
Right. I think we have a lot of pressure on us to have a result, have an end goal. And so And we can, the expression is we can't see the picture in the frame, meaning we don't have any real perspective on ourselves. So we just keep looking at what is yet unfinished and diminishing ourselves for it, correct?
Absolutely. I think, like, my style of coaching is to show people just how powerful they already are, because they think that they're starting at zero and they need to do self-improvement to get to, you know, 100, for instance, that they, you know, go to all this place to go. And after talking with them for a while and saying, you know, how have you been courageous, right? I give my clients exercises like, write out, I am a courageous woman because I, and fill it out. And, you know, you can at least come up with 10 reasons, you know, even if it's, you know, I survived up until now.
Yeah.
I've raised children. I've, you know, got over a disease. I've changed jobs. I've got, you know, a nice career. I went on a trip alone. Whatever it is that they think it's courageous. And some days it can be just getting out of bed. You know, some days that's a courageous act. And when people do this and they go, oh my goodness. And so this one client, she wrote 7 pages.
Was she surprised by it? I mean, she started out, was she?
Yeah.
She was surprised, yeah.
She was surprised when she started going, because at first she's like, oh, fine, I'll give you 10. And then when she started doing it, she said, oh, my God, I couldn't stop. I was on a roll. I got momentum, and I realized, like, I am the most courageous person I know. And I can do these other things that I want to do. Because if I did all this, there's no way that I can't do more.
So, well, actually, you reminded me of a gratefulness, and people forget, like, what to be grateful for. But if you really were to, if you were forced to write for, like, whatever, 5 minutes or something long, you'd be grateful, you know, you'd be grateful that the phone worked today when you called in, you know, you'd be grateful that when I stopped at the store, I was able to find some protein drink just to hold me over so my blood sugar didn't grow. You'd actually start to focus on the things that are working.
Every single thing. You just, you know, I sit here and I do a gratitude list. I've got these pads that I got from Bob Proctor, and there's 10 lines on them. And every day I sit here, and I'm always grateful for my coffee.
Oh, gosh, so am I.
And some days I'm grateful for my cozy socks and the sunshine or the rain and my dog. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the big things. You know, it doesn't all, and you got to make it a little bit different every day. You can't say, I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful, you know, that you can't just keep writing the same thing every day. You can be grateful for it. But if you just find these little tiny things, you know, I'm grateful that my pen is working.
Right.
Things like that.
Right, it puts you
in that mood and mode of gratitude. And when you're grateful, it's hard to be whiny and complaining.
If you're just joining us, listeners, I am speaking with the much sought after high performance coach, Gail Simard, out of New Brunswick, Canada, not the New Brunswick in New Jersey that most of us think about. But Gail, can you tell our listeners, so now you're working out of New Brunswick, are you working with people locally, or how do you work with your clients?
That's a good question. I've got people in Los Angeles and New York and Switzerland and Oklahoma and Arkansas. I've got people all over the place. Actually, I have fewer clients in Canada than I do in the rest of the world. And I work with them on Zoom. I did have a couple clients that I saw in person, but not even every time. Even if they're local, it's just easy to work with people on Zoom. And I love working on Zoom. At first, I wasn't sure how I'd feel about it because I didn't like being on camera. You know, it's kind of, but now that I do it, I will not do it any other way. And one of my clients said, everybody should have to do it this way, because she admitted to me, she goes, I can't get away with things when you're looking at me. But if I was just talking to you on the phone, I could probably be more distracted, because, you know, you end up doing things as you're talking on the phone because that person can't see you. But when you're on Zoom, you know, we're looking at each other. And body language is very telling. And so there are many times when I've said something to her and she didn't respond verbally, but she moved. And you could see her almost cringe or, you know, sometimes, like, you know, you'd ask a question and I could see her moving backwards and she's like, oh, you saw that, didn't you? Oh, yeah. And other times it would be a smile or the shoulders let down in relief, you know, or a sigh, a breath. So when you can see them on Zoom, it's really good because everybody's in their own environment. You don't have to drive and it doesn't matter where in the world they are.
And you can record it if they choose to have it recorded so they can go back and listen to it again.
Yeah. Yeah, we record them and send sessions to people. So, you know, sometimes people like looking back at it. And I like it for note-taking sometimes because if I weren't recording it and I knew I could take notes, then I'd be writing notes and I wouldn't be as present with a person.
Right.
So I like being really present. I'll write a couple notes as I'm talking, but I can go back and get them if I need to, if I didn't remember or something. So that takes the stress off of me of being a better note taker, you know, to be more present and actually like looking at that person.
Who is your typical client? Like who out there who might be listening, for example, would be the right client for you, or you would be the right coach for them? Let me put it that way.
Yeah, that's a good question, too.
Oh, thank you. I'm full of them tonight.
I'm not going to say everybody.
Okay.
I am looking for people that have already had some success. Now, they don't have to be super successful people, but I don't want people that are down and out right now. They can be down and out in one part of their life, if that's even a fair thing to say. But I want... like, I need somebody that can work with me that's coachable, that knows that they're great at something, and that wants to continue working in that. My job isn't to, like, pull somebody up. It's to help them do it themselves. You know, I want to find people that want to set good goals and know what they want out of life, or, you know, help co-create what they want out of life, and work with them to get it.
Okay, so there's two things that come up when I hear you speaking like this. So let's say a client comes to you for a first session.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you typically start?
Well, I should go back and say I like people that are in transition. Because I think that's when people really need a coach just to help them get through something. You know, if they're stuck at a certain plateau or whatever. So what I do is I normally, if I don't know the person, I have a phone call with them or a Zoom call just to get to know them and make sure we're on the right page. Because I think a coaching relationship is quite intimate. People are going to tell you their secrets and their stories and their dreams, and that's a very intimate thing to share with someone. So I need to make sure that we're on the same, you know, the same wavelength, that we have similar values, so that I can create a really safe place for them to be able to let me into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a blessing to have, let someone do that with you. The least amount of time that I will spend with a client is a 12-week session.
Okay, very good. All right.
Yeah. So before I sign on with them, I want to make sure that we're a good match and that, you know, I'll be able to help them and they'll be a great, you know, a great client so that we both have success in the relationship. So I start off by chatting with them, getting to know them, getting them to know me, sharing stories. And then if we like each other, we move to the next step where we do kind of an enrollment call, like a practice. It's not practice because they're actually getting coached, but a coaching session they get to see what the system's like, and I get to see if it, you know, how they respond and if they're coachable. And then if they like it from there, then, you know, they ask my rates and we get them signed up.
So when you mentioned a system, you said if they,
mm-hmm.
What is the system? You said, I think you said that if get them involved with the system, or maybe that was the, but what is the system?
Well, I've been trained by Brendon Burchard.
Brendon is also very famous. Brendon Burchard.
Yeah, he's famous. He coaches Oprah and her team.
Uh-huh.
And he's coached a lot of billionaires and a lot of people, and he's been doing this for a while. And he has put together a system over the 20 years he's been doing this and put it in binders and systems for us and over the 12 modules. And the same coaching, the questionnaires and the order sequence and everything is what he uses to coach his clients.
And what might that, what are some of the, are you able to talk about what are some of the modules?
Yes,
like what are some of the things that are going to come up over the course of these 12 weeks?
I absolutely will. So in one of the first coaching sessions, in coaching session one, what happens is I ask people questions to grade themselves from 1 to 10 on different categories, and I read them a paragraph. So these categories are health, intimate relationships like a lover or partner, family and friends, their mission, finances, hobby, and spirit. People go through it and based on a paragraph that I read and grade themselves from 1 to 10 how strongly they feel they are doing in that area. And then from there, we kind of look and see what they want to work on first. If it's their health, if it's their relationships, if it's their finances or their job, and we kind of focus on that area.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through clarity. Clarity is one of the first things that people need. Because without clarity, it's like they don't have a roadmap. They don't know where they're really going. So they're just busy ticking things off the list and getting frustrated. So clarity is like one of the, it's the second session, actually. And then we go into energy because lots of times if people might know what they want to do. They might have the dreams, but if they're not healthy, if they don't have the energy to do it, then they're not getting anywhere. They're beating themselves up and go, oh, I'm so lazy. So we really, do some work on their energy and how to, even for somebody that's healthy, like one of the things that we do is every 50 minutes when you're sitting down working on at your desk or something like that, we suggest that people get up every 15 minutes to put like a timer on their phone and actually get up and either, use the bathroom, get a glass of water, move, go outside, just do something to get up and kind of break the spell because, we can easily sit at our desks for hours on end.
Yeah, you'd be sorely disappointed by even my day today. I think I sat still I took one break to go to Starbucks, which isn't good. But anyway.
You see that. What do they say? Sitting is the new smoking.
It's like, because I think people, and I'll say even I'm out there with this, is that we often feel like we have a lot to get done in too little time.
Uh-huh.
And so when you said the first or maybe the second module was clarity before you got to finding your energy, I wanted you to come back to clarity for a moment because
sure.
I think this is a really important area, and I do think that this is where most coaches start, which is figuring out – well, you tell, what does clarity mean to you, Gail?
Well, clarity means knowing exactly what you want, but not so much to me in just a goal. Like, a lot of people will have a goal, and then they reach it or they don't reach it, but they're stuck on that one goal. And, say if it's getting a book published, that's easy for me to say because I'm sitting here looking at a million books.
Right, you're writing a book.
And I'm writing a book. A lot of people are writing books. So the thing is that you need to understand who are you while you're writing the book and who do you want to be when you're done, when you've reached your goal. And so what I like to talk to people about clarity is what is your identity? Like what is it? Who is it that you want to be? How do you want to feel when you reach this goal? Like, the goal is one thing, but the every single day towards the goal is your life. And so it's so much more important to say, I want to be a person that's, having fun and enjoying life and I'm healthy and have relationships while I write this book, while I reach my dream, while I do that. Because I think figuring out what your perfect day is, then if and when you reach your goal, it's going to feel so much better. It's going to be just like, oh, okay, I did that. Now, and life goes on.
What do... I'm listening to the... So there's a few questions that come up. So
good.
Clarity. Good. So clarity is so important because it helps you. This isn't a question, by the way, apparently. It's a statement. But it helps you to identify how to prioritize your, as you put it, your energy, right? Which, as far as I'm concerned, energy includes time, money, and physical, mental energy, emotional energy. But clarity tells you what you can start to release from your life, or at least make secondary. So that you're not running all over the place. And I also... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and I also think what it does, it gives you a bit of a North Star to know where you, like who you intend to be next. You have some understanding of yourself, so it keeps you conscious of what you're doing each day versus just falling back into that state that you described, which are just maybe running around doing errands and checking things off in a box. So now that you're conscious, you can of what's important to you, you can start to embody that today. So clarity and energy. How does one figure out what is important to them?
What's important to them is kind of what lights them up and what makes them really want to do anything. Because your goal might be to relax more. You know, it doesn't have to be to achieve something. It can be to become something. I think that's nicer these days. So if you can have a job that you love and have time with your family and have things so that you feel like you're in harmony. And even if that's out of balance, even if you've got this hobby or this passion, even if you want to be an Olympic athlete and, you know, so much of your time is towards that, if that's what makes you happy, then that's okay. That's important. You still need to take a little, you know, take care of the other part. I think with our lifestyles, we create too much busyness because I think that it makes us look and feel important. I know when I was in my 20s and I would meet up with somebody and they'd ask me how I was doing, I would be so proud of telling them just how busy I was and how long my list was. And I would just like, you know, that made me feel important. And I think a lot of people are still that way.
Externally focused.
Yeah. It's like if I don't have something to do, I have to stop and be aware or I have to stop and think. And so a lot of people keep themselves busy. And then they think if they're busy, they're productive or they're getting somewhere. But what we promote in this coaching is to go, what is it that you really want? And what are you doing towards that goal? And so you make a plan and there's a to-do list because you still need to do the daily errands. You still need to get the groceries and, you know, do the dishes.
Right.
You know, and all the things at work. I mean, you have, you know, other people to answer to often or things that need to be done. But your big goal, you need to really focus on the needle movers for that. That's one of the things. When I stop and look at it, I'm like, is this moving the needle towards my big goal?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got these planners that I just love. They're 90X planners. And on one side, it's like your goals, and you rewrite your goals once a week. Every week you rewrite them, and you go, why is this important to me? And then every day you have a to-do list on one side, which is just your normal things that you need to do. And there's your agenda of what you're going to do when. But then there's the needle movers towards your goal. So if you have three goals, you have three things that you need to do every day to move that needle. And it doesn't have to be much, but it has to be done.
I think you're reminding me of something, a tool I use, and you're also reminding me of that book that was famous, The Habits. I forget how many habits there were, maybe that 9 habits or 8 habits of highly effective people. Sorry, folks.
Oh, you said the 7 habits of highly effective.
Oh, gosh, I got it wrong. 7 habits. I'm sure you wrote another book after that and threw in another one. But where not to make your to-do list endless, to just put those things, as you're pointing out, it's just put those things that have to get done that day or are most important priority for that day, and put everything else on a second list. And I call it delegating. I put everything on a second list and just watch, because in a way, by saying I'll take care of this, Mm-hmm. And I am just going to put all this other stuff on a second list because I know that maybe it should get done or it definitely should get done, but it's not a priority. It's amazing that things start to come off the list, you know, effortlessly. It just sort of starts to happen. The person you were going to call calls you. I had that happen to me today,
yeah.
Or wrote to me. So it is a way to contain your time.
Yeah, just the energy of putting it down there sometimes. And one of the things I like to do on Sunday evenings is a brain dump, because we get tired because we have all these things in our mind. And once you do a brain dump and actually put them on paper, that really kind of transfers the space.
Right.
You know, kind of clears up your mind. And, you know, to plan out your week in advance, not every single detail, but the things that you're planning that, you know, the must-haves. And another list that we like to make is the not-to-do list. And that is to say, I'm never going to do this again.
Like what?
Worry, because worry is a big mistake. That's just a waste of time. Or if you can delegate your laundry or something, like some people that find other people to do things for them. And
right.
So they're, you know, mowing their lawn, for instance. They're like, you know what, I spend this many hours mowing my lawn. I'm going to put that on my not-to-do list. I'm going to get someone else to do it because my time is more valuable and I'm creating, you know, a job for someone else.
Right. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and I think many of them get stuck. They don't want to give up control of something that they're good at. For example, one client wants to write a blog, which is, I have nothing against writing a blog by any means, but at the end of the day, I know that hours will go into this, and I'm not sure that the return on investment's there, and I'm like, maybe you want to frame it and delegate this to somebody on your team or somebody that you can get on your team and use your time to really go out and just keep connecting and networking and making sure that you're going to be generating revenue for the business. So don't busy yourself with some of this smaller stuff.
You know what it is? It's a form of procrastination, because you look like you're doing something. People see you doing something. You convince yourself that this needs to get done, and you're avoiding the needle movers.
Right, right. It's something that you can control, that you're already comfortable with, and you're mm-hmm. procrastinating going on to something that inevitably, when we change, people don't like change because it goes through a period where it's uncomfortable. But I think when you and I know what we're taught, the only way that you're going to fail at something is by giving up. And I just love that saying, because, you know, all those times when we feel like we're not getting anywhere, or we can't see the results yet, it makes mm-hmm. I like, don't, the only way you're going to fail is if you give up. So for those that are just tuning in by any chance, I want you to know that my guest tonight on the phone from New Brunswick, Canada, is the much sought after high performance coach, Gail Simard. So Gail, we were starting to touch on simplification, because I think people today are just, it seems like you wake up and no sooner do you wake up than the day is over. And so when we spoke pre-show, we were talking about knowing your personal values. So what does that mean, knowing your personal values?
I've got three words, and I use those words as something that I want to be every day, that define me, how I want to be in the world, and I use them as a filter. And my words are fun, free, and kind. And I spent too much of my life being very serious.
Uh-huh.
And
I do that too, definitely.
I was like, oh, when all this work is done, then I can have fun. And, you know, when everybody else has had their fun, then maybe there'll be time for me, or maybe when my kids are grown. And now I've decided that, no, life has to be fun every day. Something has to be fun. So, you know, if I'm doing something, I can play nice music, I can light a candle, I can have a good ambiance, or I can do it, you know, with somebody. I'm not sure if I'm answering your questions or not, but I think your personal values are really important, because when you go to choose a project or something you're going to do, if it's not aligned with your core values,
mm-hmm.
of what you want in your life. If you say, I want to be free, I want to be, you know, to have fun, I want to be kind, and you're doing something that's not aligned, that's when people get sick. That's when things break or don't work so much, or when they get stressed, is when they're not congruent with their core values.
Right. I was making videos today for a promotion I'm doing, so I was looking up Tony Robbins for 2 seconds just to see how he starts his video. So Tony Robbins, of course, is another top coach and big coach, one of the first coaches. And I just stumbled onto a video where he was talking about how you will suffer when your values, whether you're conscious of them or not, when your values are not in alignment with the actions that you're taking on a day-to-day basis. So if you're doing something that at the end of the day, maybe other people admire you for it, or you think you're cool, or but if it's truly out of alignment with your core values, then you are going to feel guilty.
Yeah. And that's going to make you sick. I mean, can you imagine if you were all about the environment and saving the environment and you worked for an oil company? You know, you're not going to like your job.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of whistleblowers out there nowadays, and I guess there's a lot of conflict between what their values are and what their environment is, that it's compelling some people to step forward and put a lot at risk to really stand by their values.
Yeah. Then you see some people doing what's so natural to them.
Right.
My daughter's studying to become a teacher, and she's been interning in kindergarten and dealing with five-year-olds. And she's just so lit up by that. Like, she's doing what she's meant to do. And, you know, when you see somebody that's found their path and is doing what makes them happy, they do so much better at it. And it's so natural, and it just doesn't seem so much like work.
Well, this is where the fulfillment comes in, right? So it doesn't seem like work. You're actually using your core values, your primary core values, because we may have a ton of values, but we have some core values that if we put them out into the world, it brings us to life. And life takes on a whole new meaning and a level of energy, right? You seem to keep the energy flowing through you when you're doing things you care about, even when it can seem like quote unquote work.
You know, I'm a great example of that. I love helping people. I love talking with people. I love meeting new people. I love learning about their dreams and studying. And people ask me when I go on a trip, because I go study a lot or go to different conferences, and people are going, oh, is it work or business? And I'm like, both. You know, it's through customs. And they're like, are you going for work? I'm like, sure. Guess that's what I have to say to you. But it doesn't feel like it. It feels like I'm going to see my friends and learn and share ideas. And when I'm doing work with my clients, I feel like, I mean, there's professionalism there, but they're like professional friends or peers. And I'm working with them, and they're doing great things. And the more that I can help them, there's a ripple effect. So I know if I'm helping a businesswoman or a businessman, that I'm also helping their partner and their employees and their clients. And, you know, that feels really great. And so it doesn't feel like I'm working. It feels like, oh, I get to phone this person and see how they've done this week. Because, you know, it's that intimacy and that consistency and that safe space. So it's like phoning up all your best friends and talking about their life.
It really is, and it feels so good when you're helping people. I mean, I think as human beings, we're designed I think we've been taught that because of the survival nature that we're conditioned under, even when we don't need that conditioning anymore, we're taught to be very self-centered, and in the coaching world, they'll tell you self-centeredness to some extent is proper, but it's because we feel like we have to protect ourselves all the time that we actually develop aspects of ourselves that can be indifferent or mean or disconnected from other people. And it feels really good to give and help people and see them succeeding. Sounds so corny.
It really does, because, you know, I can only talk to so many people. And I prefer doing one-on-one coaching rather than group coaching because I think I can actually help the person a little bit more. Group coaching is good. It's just not something that I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm still helping groups because, you know, whoever I help, it's, you know, if I help somebody and they're nicer to their clients or they understand something better about a relationship or they share something they've learned from me. You know, when I tell somebody, when I teach them something and then they go, oh, I met this guy in the lineup and I told him that. And, he's like, oh, great, I'll go, you know, tell my children or tell somebody else. You know what I mean? I coach people on airplanes all the time and they're like, you know, it's just natural. It's what you do.
Right. I start coaching people and they're like, wow, they just have like one little shift, but it changes everything. And at the end of the day, you can't give people too much at once, but one little shift, and especially if they can practice it. It is like going to the gym. Just practice one thing, staying, where am I being courageous today? Or just not getting triggered by people that may come in and, you know, into our lives. We all have people that, you know, trigger aspects of us that can release some frustration or fear, things like that. Just to get people to work with that is phenomenal. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's funny that you're saying the word trigger because we always think of that in a negative way.
Right.
And we can create positive triggers just as easily as the negative ones. The negative ones we don't seem to have as much power over. We tend to have that as a reaction. You know, we react instead of respond. But we can always do our own triggers. So one of the things that Brennan likes talking about, and it's super simple, is the doorway trigger. And so when you're entering someplace and you go through the doorway, it's kind of like you pause and set your intentions for what you're going to do when you walk into that room. So for me, when I get into my office, when I go through the doorway, I'll go, okay, I'm working now. I'm going to focus. Like I tell myself some little affirmation or intention of walking through it. And what he said in relationships, a lot of people, they have a job, they come home from work, and they get out of their car, and they walk in, and they just want to kind of vent or rant, and the partner that's been in the house or the kids or whatever just want to see this person they've been waiting for. And it's not always the smoothest interaction. So what he says is have this trigger when you walk through your front door. So when he comes home, he sits in his car for a minute, and before he walks through the door frame of this front house, it's like, I'm going to greet my wife, you know, like I want to hear about her day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a different way to look at it, and it's so simple. So we can have positive triggers, too.
What can you do, you know, because when people are in whatever relationships at work, and it's all relationships, right? So intimate relationships.
Everything's a relationship, yes.
So when two people are triggered, for example, a negative trigger at the same time, should they always look at, does that mean that it's a bad situation, or can we look at these negative triggers from another perspective? What can we do when we get triggered so that we can see it as something potentially, I think you used the word, as a blessing.
As a blessing, yeah. Well, I think that time helps. So sometimes if you look at somebody and you go, let's take a minute. And if you have that little code or something that you've agreed to ahead of time, that when something throws you, that you can kind of have the safe word or this plan ahead of time. And, you know, it can be as simple as let's take a minute. And stop and pause and then go, do you want to start over or, you know, whatever it is, or have this discussion later. You know, sometimes people just have discussions at the wrong time. It's not the wrong discussion and things need to be said, but maybe the timing's not right.
Right, if you're overtired
or rushing somewhere, because then you're going to say things in a way and it might be interpreted the wrong way and it could be, you know, all the same thing if we've just done it a different time or in a different manner.
Right, exactly. And then once that fearful side of you, you know, sometimes it comes up again, there's like woundedness, right? So something comes up, even when you can see it in road rage with people, once it comes up, it's like people are not themselves. There's some other, more fearful part of themselves comes through. So that's, if you can avoid it, that's not the right time to...
Yeah. When somebody cuts me off in traffic or something, I use the word seriously.
Seriously?
Go,
no, seriously? You don't flip your finger at them or anything, Gail? You seem very...
I say that like Christina Yang from Grey's Anatomy used to, like, seriously? And that's it. And it's done. It's gone. It's over.
Good. No, that's good. Seriously? Seriously? So we have 1 minute, Gail. So why don't we do this? I didn't realize the whole hour went by. How can people get in touch with you, Gail Simard? How can people get in touch with you if they were interested in being or exploring whether coaching is right for them, especially as 2020 is around the bend?
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm open to talk to people for, 30-minute calls just to get to know them, to offer them some information with no obligation. Of course, I'd love to coach people if we're a match and they think that they get some value. They can reach me just by searching my name, Gail Simard, S-I-M-A-R-D, and Gail is G-A-I-L. And so GailSimard.com will take you to my Facebook page right now till my website's finished. And, I'd love to hear from people and get on the phone with them, get on a Zoom call and look at them.
Well, good. Gail Simard, S-I-M-A-R-D. Gail is G-A-I-L. And check her out. She is a much sought-after coach by people all around the country. And, Gail, I am thrilled to have you on today. I think you were meaningful for a lot of people who might be listening tonight. And I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you so much, Noreen. I love this. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Have a great night. Bye-bye, everybody. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Voice of Greenwich, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Special report, House impeachment inquiry. I'm Evan Haining. Republicans on the Intelligence Committee have contended that President Trump held back aid from Ukraine in order to first check on possible corruption in that country. Well, in questioning longtime Pentagon official Laura Cooper, Democrat Jim Himes said the law requires defense...